531.
As part of our Polynesian Panther Party 50th anniversary celebrations this week, Kalia Strong spoke with current Polynesian Panther Party member Miss Marsepa Edwards. Kalia asked Marsepa what led her to become a Polynesian Panther Party member.
Actually introduced into the Polynesian Panthers in my early 30s and mid-30s, sorry. That was in 2006 when I was approached by Will Ilolahia to help set up the book launch for Melani Anai, the Polynesian Panther book. And to be honest, I really knew nothing of our history, like a lot of others, until I got to be involved with setting up the book launch. That just threw me into a whole other world spin around our history. So 2006 was my introduction to it. In 2008, going into 2009, I then got involved with helping to organise the welcoming of Emery Douglas when he first came in 2009. But in 2008, I was officiated by Miriama Rohihines, Seifu's mum, as an official Polynesian Panther. Wow. And from that point onwards, I just never looked back. So I guess I, through understanding the history of the work of the Polynesian Panthers, I really needed to ask myself those deep questions of what is it, what is my place, what can I do? I am now standing alongside and on a very strong foundation of incredible warriors before me who have laid the pathway, not just for myself, but for the future generations. And a lot of the privileges that we experience today is purely because of what they stood for. So I really wanted to reflect on what is my contribution, what can I do with my own current work, and how can I turn that into using my voice to activate social change.
I think people assume that the Polynesian Panthers was a long time ago, and it's a surprise that there are still active members and it's very much still going.
Yes, well, I think the 50-year celebration is an acknowledgement of the first 10 years, 71 to 81, of the full activism that was happening on in that time. Of through the government and what was going on with Dawn Raids and other things that was happening. The 40 years onwards, when it's sort of like, for after 81, the Polynesian Panthers wasn't as prominent in the public scene like it was during those years. But the Polynesian Panthers themselves didn't stop the work because they became parents, they were parents, they now had mukapuna, and you know, life carries on, and but they still continued doing their work through their social activities, through the universities, in the police force, through their children, in the music industry, through the arts, you know, the work just carried on, and it evolved in a very different way, just not as public as the time during 71 and 81. That was a real in-your-face kind of time.
Do you know how many current members there are now?
Well, I was at the opening dinner last night at Whale Pacifica, and there would have been who in attendance that came. There would have been, as far as members were, about 25 members that turned up for the dinner, and that's only here in Auckland. That's not including chapters throughout New Zealand. You've got Dunedin, Wellington, Christchurch, and then coming all the way up into Auckland, and then further up north. But the ones that were in Tamaki Makaurau, there was about a good 25 with their children and their mokopuna.
Mm, what's your current purpose, or what are the Polynesian Panthers doing now?
So they're still continuing on doing the work that they've always done, but through the program Educate to Liberate, which is a program that is a couple of the members, Alec Mulafoa, Milani Anai, Tilo, Tines, are actually touring the country throughout, talking about the Polynesian Panthers and the history, because it's actually now become a part of our school curriculum. It's part of the NZQA. So Educate to Liberate is quite strong now, and they're moving around the country doing that, raising awareness through educational platform. But apart from that, there are other members who continue doing prison work, who continue to do social service work. I myself, my focus is in the climate justice environment arena. So, you know, I think what people are actually doing is they're staying in the area that they are currently working in and using that still to create change in those areas.
Like, some people, now that there's the apology coming up, they're like, is the group going to be disbanded? Is there still a need for this? And what do you think?
I don't think the group will be disbanded. I think, if anything, it will pique more interest. Young ones, I think, are actually going to start questioning more. I think the apology, whilst it's 50 years later, 40-plus years further down the track, it was one that was actually really necessary. And I think people need to understand that the apology was to do with a time that was very traumatic. So it's really difficult for the ones who have no awareness around the history and what built up to that trauma of the Dawn Raids. So when you get people in the public who are complaining and looking at, oh, these migrants, why should we, you know, why should they get this apology, blah, just get on with it, or go back to your own country. Now, that is due to ignorance, that is due to a lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, and a whole other host of layers to do with really not understanding what we went through, what our parents went through, our grandparents, and our extended family. So because of the multiple years, 40 years further down the track, the trauma hasn't left those that it has impacted. But for everybody else who has no understanding, they're not emotionally there to understand why. It's so significant. And like Su'a had mentioned, you know, our people were invited here to help be a part of the labour force, the workforce, doing jobs that nobody else wanted to do. Our people came over to help contribute to the economy during that time, and they paid their dues. And as soon as we come to do the work, we were forgotten and then accused and then a whole host of other things, which then led, therefore, after a struggle of work, employment, housing, and, you know, the social issues and the social traumas that follow that just become extended. They become more and more and more. And consequently, because of that, it hasn't actually changed right up until now. So, you know, there are multiple layers to understanding why this apology is so important. And I think everybody who can get to on the 26th, who can get there and who have their parents, aunties and uncles who are still alive, you know, really encourage them to take them along for that, because many of our other families and relatives have passed on. And for them, for their sake, it's important that we actually be present to acknowledge that on their behalf.
Just one thing I wanted to go back to, Masipa, was you said you were initiated. What did that involve at the time?
Well, if anybody who knows Miriama Rohihines, who's a very powerful, strong Māori woman in her own right, with an incredible accolade of phenomenal shifts and changes throughout history for Māori women, for Māori in general, there was no real kind of like kneel, you know, I now swear you. I didn't have to stand with my hand over a flag or anything like that. You know, it was as simple as sitting over a cup of tea. She wanted to acknowledge the work that I was doing, and she encouraged me as an Afrikasi Samoan Māori, as tangata whenua, to always remember to not be afraid to speak up and use my voice. So, you know, sometimes I think we can imagine this initiation to be something quite ritualistic, and you know, it really wasn't. It was just from another Polynesian Panther woman to me as the next up-and-coming generation, that she wanted to officially welcome me in under the banner of the Polynesian Panthers and to continue the fight.
And it really sounds like you are, Masipa.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I think you need to get to a place in your life when you start to realise that there's only so much that you can do when you are sitting quietly, right? And when you suppress your sound, suppress your voice, you can only have a conversation in your mind around all the things that you feel is unjust, but it does absolutely nothing. And to have women like Miriama, Betty Sior, Peta Siolepa, Milani Anai, Eta, you know, Zina, these are women within the movement who, these are our role models. And so if we don't have strong women who can get behind us when you are feeling like your self-worth is nothing, it's so important to have women stand alongside you and mirror back to you the incredible strength that you already have. Mm. But you need to come to a place where you've got to believe it. And the moment you reach that space, nothing, I tell you, nothing will hold you back.
Masipa Edwards, current Polynesian Panther Party member, they're speaking with Kalia Strong from our PMN News team about her journey and, of course, the celebrations of the 50th anniversary of the Polynesian Panther Party.